Right now with Ephesians 4, chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. I'm going to read the white and you're going to read the yellow, okay? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you or give you according to the riches of his glory, with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, there we go, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, wouldn't that be great to be filled with all the fullness of God? And yet, that's a possibility. He's praying that we will do that. So, Paul describes this spiritual engine that we've talked about over the weeks in his prayer, and it's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible what he's telling us. And God's saying to you and to me, turn the key, will you? Turn the key. And I just want to stop here and say it's an act of your will and my will to turn that key and saturate yourself in the Word of God. Now, I thought about this and I thought, why? Why go to the trouble? Because it is hard. Let's just admit it. Why go to the trouble when we can live lazy, comfortable lives as it comes at us? Why don't we just do that rather than get in his word and learn it? Okay? And listen to me on this. Because sin, my friend, will overtake you. Have you discovered it yet? Sin will come along. In fact, we go right to the Genesis chapter 4, where God is talking to Cain just before Cain kills Abel, his brother, over and accepted his offering not being accepted and Abel's being accepted. We have our first murder in the Bible. And this is what God says to Cain. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance, your expression fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And in the Hebrew, sin is crouching at the door waiting to overtake you. And its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. And so how do we rule over sin? Saturation in God's word. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Do you remember that out of Ephesians 5? Being thankful for all things. And maybe you haven't discovered this yet, that in the Christian life, you are either moving forward or you are moving backwards. Now, a lot of you think you coast, right? You get a spiritual high and now you're going to coast for a while. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a coast where it keeps going and going? No, it always comes to a stop, doesn't it? And you don't want it to come to a stop. And so we fall into all kinds of sin traps, just like God warned Cain. And so God is saying, turn that engine on. It's an act of your will, turning everything over to the Holy Spirit. And that's to activate the Spirit of God in your life. Now listen, let me read Colossians chapter 3. It is the parallel passage to Ephesians chapter 5. And listen to this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so when we do that, he begins to strengthen our inner man. Then the next step is we begin to have victory over sin, and then Christ dwells in our heart in a comfortable and is at home in our heart, and then you're rooted and grounded in love, and you understand his four-dimensional love that will dominate your life, and then you will experience all the fullness of God, right? That's what Paul lays out for us. And out of that flows the character of God out of your life. And you know what? When you participate in sin and you're doing that, you can't do that when God's character is flowing out of you. Do you realize that? Now listen, we've talked about this, and we have those four steps, and it leads us to the fifth one, which is one we started camping on 2 weeks ago, and we're going to finish it up today, and that's now to him who is able to or can do exceedingly, abundantly, above or beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that is now working in us. So I thought about that this week, and I've lived that many, many times in my life, and I want to talk about one that was huge in the early part of my salvation, where I really felt like he answered far and above and beyond anything that I would ask or think in some senses. You know, after I became a Christian, I was living in California, and you guys have heard that story before. I moved to Seattle, started going to church up there with my parents, and I had this insatiable thirst for the Word of God. I couldn't get enough. I mean, from the lifestyle that I had been living, this was such a change that I began to read. I'd get up about 6 in the morning and have breakfast with my dad and mom, and I'd start reading, and I would read till midnight. And this went on for like 7 months, and until my dad told me to get out and get a job. Okay, and which my mom was pretty mad about. But I felt like, have you ever been in a situation where it's kind of really hot out and that kind of thing? You've been walking, and all of a sudden, bingo, you feel that dryness, and you feel like, oh man, do I need water? Anybody feel that? Yeah, and you know, when I was in Israel, that way, every day that we were in Israel for 2 weeks, only one day was under 100 degrees. And I remember this one time we were walking, and it was 109. And we were walking up in the mountains, and we were tired, and it was hot. And I'd carry 2-liter bottles in my backpack. I'd carry one for me, one for my wife, and then a third one if we needed it. And man, there was times when I'd take that whole 2-liter bottle, and I'd get 2/3 of the way through it before I'd stop drinking because I was so parched. And that's the way I felt about reading the Bible. And I began reading it all day and saturating my mind. And after 9 months, I decided to go to Grace Bible College and start preparing for the ministry. But from that day forward, I read and read and read and applied and applied and applied. And I really felt that strengthening of the inner man. I didn't know what that was at the time, but it was a strengthening of the inner man. And I began to see that victory over sin. I certainly began to understand the love of Christ. And in one of the Sunday school classes I was in for 9 months, the guy taught totally on grace. Boy, did I need that. And I totally began to understand the love of God and his grace. And I felt like I was dominating with his word. I was talking to him all day long. And in the fall of that year, 1974, I went to Grace Bible College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, because I wanted to go into the ministry. But my mind was cloudy still from my past. It was all the consequences of the lifestyle that I lived. And so I sat across from the student advisor before we started the classes, and he ended up being my Greek teacher. In fact, you'll laugh at this. He says, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to take beginning classical Greek. Now, the Bible, the New Testament, is written in Koine Greek, which is, means common Greek. But he wanted me to take a year of classical before I started into the common. And I said, well, I've heard the prof is really hard and not easy to get along with. And he says, well, I've heard that if you just do your homework, oh, you'll be fine. And I thought, well, okay. So who was there in my Greek class on the first day? Him. Yeah. So he says, well, first of all, classical Greek, and then you need to take Old Testament survey, and then you need your European history, the 19th and 20th century European history, and music I just took on my own, and then dispensational theology, you need to take that, and then practical theology and evangelism class, where we learn the Kennedy evangelism explosion for you old people, you know, from Florida, and So I looked at the list, and I realized at that moment in my heart that I could not go to school and work both. There was no way. I was too foggy. And I realized I was going to have to take a tape recorder to class and listen to the classes over and over until things started sinking in, because I had 15 semester hours just on that without the music. And then we had music on top of it. And so I continued to read and prayed, and I finally asked God, God, will you take care of the tuition this semester? I'll try to catch it up the second, but will you take care of the tuition this one? And I went to my classes. And within 2 months, I'd met Debbie. She was this lonely little girl I prayed for in a prayer meeting, went down and met her and talked to her, and we argued about theology and this kind of thing, and then I kind of like that argument, you know. And so we ended up starting to spend time together. So that was on top of the 15 hours. And Debbie would ask me as we were going through the fall, she said, well, what about your tuition? How are you going to pay that off? And I would tell her matter-of-factly, it'll come in the mail. God's going to provoke somebody to send the tuition because I can't work and go to school both. It's just too hard of a schedule. And that question was only asked by her, but it was asked by the school because they saw I wasn't working and I had no money. And so they began to question me, and I gave them the same answer. I said, look, I have a benefactor that's going to pay that off. I can't work. And so the semester wound down, and I received in my mailbox a notice from the school that the tuition was due on December 15th, and if I didn't have the tuition on the 15th, then I would have to drop out of school, and I wouldn't get my grades. Thank you, school. Well, boy, that was hard on my soul, but I simply trusted God. I was in His Word. I was praying on a daily basis. I was beseeching Him to take care of it. And so I was so assured that Debbie even got to the place where she started checking my mailbox as well, thinking that check would come. And she had come from a family that was pretty much have to prove everything, you know, and so that was a little new for her. And so day after day, I would go to that mailbox and we would look, and there was no check. And so we were down to the last day, the 15th of December. And I went to the mailbox after the mail was delivered. Nothing. Empty. And so I prayed like Jesus did in the garden. I'm sure I sweated blood. You know what I'm saying? God. Man, Father, you support me here. And I went to see Debbie, and I was perplexed. And she asked about whether I had checked the box, if I made sure I checked, and I didn't know that was going to be her mantra for the rest of our marriage, right? Did you check? Yeah, wait a minute, let's go check, you know. And so, I looked at it and I thought, you know what, I don't have my hope in an organization. I don't have my hope in grandma or grandpa. I knew they weren't going to do it, or my parents. It was in God alone, because it was between me and God that I was going to go in the ministry. My schedule was too big. I couldn't do it. I knew I couldn't do it. I knew God knew I couldn't do it. You ever been in that place? And so Debbie asked, she said, well, let's go check one more time. And I said, well, they already delivered the mail. And she said, well, let's just check one more time. And so we went down there and we opened up the box, and sure enough, I opened the door, and there was a letter, but it was from an ad agency. And I pulled the letter out, and I thought, oh, brother, this is really the topping on the cake. And I opened the letter, and in the letter was a $1,000 check. That's how much it cost to do a semester in the school back in those days. $1,000 check in there with a letter that said they would cover the second semester as well if I needed it. Now, those things don't always happen, do they? But sometimes they do. Sometimes God does abundantly above more than we can ask or think. And I even asked God for this. And so I'm, you know, if you think I'm saying, if I read my Bible and I grow that God will give us money, then you've missed the whole point. Amen? What I am saying is that when God says he can do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, he can. And I was so in touch with God, I felt like I knew him and what he was thinking, and he knew me and what I was thinking, and he strengthened my inner man, and I knew he would take care of it because I was in a jam, and he did. He did by ad agency. And I knew that he promised to take care of my needs. And that's what we're talking about here. The second semester, I felt like I could work part-time, and so I was able to pay part of the tuition. They picked up the rest of the tuition. The end of that year, I came to Colorado. And, you know, I look at it, and God still meets my needs today. There's still times, and I could stay here for 2 or 3 hours and tell you story after story of how God's taken care of my needs. And you know what? I'm willing to bet you could, too. At certain times in your Christian life, things come to pass. You think, how in the world did that happen? Have you had that? Raise your hand if you've had that. Okay, so I'm talking to the choir here for the most part. God offers needed power to those who are strengthened in the inner man. Those who believe deeply that he is Lord and they trust in him. And it's just like Jesus says in Luke 11. And let me just read this to you. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And then look at this verse of 17. "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by what? No means enter into it." Listen, friends, it's not about technical faith. It's not about knowing science and the Bible. It's not about understanding your theology thoroughly. It's not about if you took Greek or not, or practical theology. It's about simple baby faith. Are you hearing me this morning? And we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And in those early years when I went to Grace, I was filled with all the fullness of God. I couldn't help. I didn't have anything left. And if we can experience 14 through 19, verses 14 through 19, it'll work in your life, then this is what God says to you. If you ignore 14 through 19, this does not apply to you. Are you hearing me? Okay? So if you look at 14 through 19 and you apply, not just listen to on Sunday morning at 9:30 to 10:30, but you apply it in your life, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think according to the power that is now working in us. It's already working in you. And I'm going to challenge you, try it and see. Quit making excuses for not being in the Word. Quit making excuses for not praying. It's not a priority if you're not doing it. And then you have to live life in a much harder way. You've got to turn the key. And again, it's an act of your will to sit down and saturate yourself in the Word of God and turn that ignition on so the Holy Spirit has the power in us now. And he has the power to clean out our addictions and our sin. He has the power to revolutionize your life. He has the power, and it's available to us. But boy, do we cut it off at the knees, especially if we haven't experienced it. Because we think God is too small in our lives. We think God is so small that sometimes we feel like we have to prop him up. And really, it's because you're not saturated. Is our God, and I want a verbal answer from this, is our God able? Do you believe that God is able? Listen to this verse. Now unto him who is able, or who can, according to the power that works in us. That's the short version. And if we took that short version, would that work? Now, what I'm going to do here for a few minutes is I'm going to train you in this verse like I used to do years ago in junior church. If some of you would remember junior church, you go that far back, but years ago you had Sunday school at 9:45, and at 11 o'clock you had church, and somebody had to take care of the kids, so for many years I taught junior church. And the kids wanted to memorize scripture, and this was the kind of the way we would do it. So I've cut the verse short, okay? And so we go to the first one again, one more, just go back one. Okay, now to him who is able according to the power that works in us. Say that with me. Now to him who is able according to the power that works in us. Now, that would be great if that's all Paul said. But it's better than that. Listen to this. Now unto him who is able to do according to the power that works in us. But wait, there's more. Now unto him who is able to do all that we ask. I mean, where do you go from here? Well, let's look. Now unto him who is able to do all that we ask or think. But there's still more. Now unto him who is able to do above all that we ask or think. Wait a minute, there's still more. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think. There's still more. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Now God's not playing around, is he? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us right now. You know, I wake up these days a lot. And sometimes I'm worrying, sometimes I'm praying, those kind of things. But I wake up in the morning, and one of the things I do feel every morning is, what is God going to do today? What is God going to take care of in my life today? Because there's times when I just know I can't take care of it. You ever feel that way? And I pray and I think, okay, what I want to do is not worry about that thing. I want to watch and see what God's going to do, because he always does it different than what I think. You know, and I look at all this, and I could be selfish about it, and you could be selfish about it, but I'm not, and you're not. It's about God, and it's about Jesus. It's not about me, it's not about you, but about him. And so I want to end today with a little praise in verse 21. And this is when 21 begins to make sense. When we understand 20, then 21's great. To him be what? To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Who gets the glory, people? To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God gets it. Faithfulness on our part, love and power on his part. And when we're faithful to him, we think like him. And then he's free to work that power out in our life. Father, we come this morning. Lord, help our disbelief, first of all. I know the disciples prayed that. And we look at it and we have so little faith, and we so have so little faith that you can do what you said in verse 20. And so, Lord, we get to the place where we think, okay, you can't do that, so therefore, why even try? We get lazy in our Christian life, and we go to work, or we take care of the kids, and we go all day, and we get to the end of the day, and we lay down in bed and think, you know what, I didn't even crack my Bible. I hardly prayed, and everything's a mess. Lord, please help us. Instill in us on a daily basis. Help us to put it on our calendar, whatever it takes, that we will spend the time with you in the Word. We will spend time talking together. Lord, that we might, our inner man might be strengthened, because the world has so many traps to entrap us. And Lord, I wished I could tell the people, all the people that come to my office, they're entrapped in sin because they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying, they're not meditating, they're not really cultivating a relationship with you, and they get into trouble, and now they don't know what to do. So Lord, please prompt us, please move us to be Harvest Fellowship, a church that reads their Bible, a church that sings and makes melody in their heart, a church that has a thankful heart, and a church that prays. And we would forever be grateful for that, Lord. We couldn't help it. Where our heads are bowed, you may be here this morning and you came searching for a relationship with Christ. And let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to pray a little prayer, and if today's the day that you really do want to ask Christ to come into your life and change your life so that you can live for him and you can see the things that we've been talking about, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you just pray along with me in that prayer, understanding you're going to ask him to come into your life, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, like that verse said, and you rose from the dead for me, so come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. Our heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, your care for us. We thank you that you give us a Bible, Lord. We're in just only a couple centuries where everybody has a Bible. They didn't even have that advantage before. They had to sing your word, and we get to read it, and we get to sing it, and we get to pray it. And Lord, I just ask that you'll give us all that desert thirst for your word, that we might fill our lives up with your words, your wisdom, your thinking. And Lord, may our inner man be strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray.